following is a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com.
Pastor Jonathan Trask is going to come up here, and he's going to share a word from Psalm 32. And if you don't know, Pastor Jonathan and his wife, Sarah, they are moving back to the mountains. That's their home. And this weekend will be their last weekend at Refuge. And we are all really sad to see them go. But if you see them in the hallways, if you see them at church on Sunday, make sure you stop by, shake their hand, and wish them farewell, because they will be missed.
How are you guys doing tonight? Normally, I'm back there with the kids, but like Shaddy said, this is our last week here at Refuge, and we get to sit out here and we get to listen to the beautiful music with you guys tonight, and I'm blessed and honored to be able to bring you just a quick Devo, a thought from the Word tonight. Let's go ahead and pray. Will you pray with me? Father, I thank you just for who you are. I thank you, Lord, that you watch over all of us in everything that happens in our life. You take us through every single season, every single storm, Father. You're the one that leads us, that guides us. You are truly our refuge, Lord. And as we dive briefly into your word tonight, may these words and these thoughts, Lord, resonate deep within our minds, in our hearts, and may we not soon forget them. In your name, amen. All right, like Shaddy said, me and my wife, we're going to be moving back up to the mountains, which is exciting for us, and we're also deeply sad that we're going to be going, but we know that we've always had a connection with Refuge, and we plan to stay connected, because in the body of Christ, we are all one giant family together, amen? Yeah, the church is down the street, no matter which way you go, or the other county over, we are all one in Christ, and we are all brothers and sisters, and I'm so excited that I get to bring stories of Refuge to other brothers and sisters up in the mountains, and I get to tell of the wonderful things that have happened at this church with many of the people that are here tonight. And so if we've had interaction over the last number of years, I just thank you for that. I'm going to probably be sharing stories about you and all the wonderful people that I have encountered here at Refuge. Well, me and my wife, as we're heading back to the mountains, we're getting our house ready so that we can go ahead and we can move into it. And as we're getting it ready, we decided to get up there, move all of our stuff in, and start tearing up our kitchen, because that's just what you do on the first day that you move in. Anybody ever do that before? Anybody maybe go a little too fast and bite off more than what you could chew? You know, you think you're going to do this wonderful project and you get into it and you're like, well, this, I may have gone just a little bit too fast with it, but I got to keep going forward. Well, we're in the process of tearing up the kitchen, and we're tearing up the hardwood floor. We're pulling it up, and there's all these little nails that are underneath, and I'm going one by one with these little staples, pulling them out, and then we're going around, and we realize, the hardwood floor goes underneath the stove. So it goes underneath the stove, and we're like, well, now we got to pull the stove out. Well, I've never pulled the stove out before, and I have no idea what's behind the stove. Well, we reach in, both of us, we reach in on both sides of the stove, and we kind of wrestle it away from the counter. And we have not been living there for a number of years, and I don't remember or know the last time that it was actually cleaned. And as we pulled the stove forward, caked on every single side of the stove was the nastiest, smelliest, most disgusting, foul-colored, I don't know what it was, but it was everywhere, all around the stove, behind the stove, on the ground around the stove. You know, there were quarters and pennies and nails and like top ramen and all kinds of stuff that fall. It was just disgusting. It was gross. So we spent the next probably 30 minutes or so just kind of plugging our nose, getting the shop vac out, and just going to town, spraying, you know, soaking the stove with every chemical you could possibly imagine, just to kill whatever was around it, to get it all cleaned up and to get it restored. And then afterwards, it looked pretty and it looked nice, and we're ready to put it back in place. Well, as I was thinking about our time, or thinking about tonight, that story came to mind, what we were doing, because tonight we're going to be looking at Psalm 32. Which is very much the perfect psalm for restoration. Psalm for restoration. This, if you have your Bible, some Bibles will actually title this "The Joy of Forgiveness," is what some of your Bibles will title this. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to read through this psalm, and I'm going to pull out 3 points for us to consider that I really want you to pay attention to tonight. Because not only is this isn't just a beautiful song, but this is listed as, this is a contemplation and instruction. So there is a part of this that's something that we need to contemplate and something that gives us direct instruction that is applicable to every single relationship that we have in life, because it is God's heart and his desire that he restores his creation, us, back to him, and ultimately his people back to each other. That's moms and dads, brothers and sisters, husbands and wives. God's desire is that you are restored first to him and then on to each other. And this psalm is so beautiful, and it puts it together in such a wonderful little package. Let me go ahead and read it, and then I will explain it afterwards. A psalm of David, a contemplation. Blessed is he whose transgressions is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and to whose spirit there is no deceit. When I kept silent, my bones grew old, through my groaning all the day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me, my vitality was turned into drought of summer. Selah. Anytime you read the Psalms and you see the word Selah, that's a break, and that's supposed to be a moment where you're supposed to pause and meditate on what you just heard. Well, it continues on. It says this, I will instruct you. Oh, I skipped ahead. Sorry. Verse 5. I acknowledged my sin to you, and my iniquity I have not hidden. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgive the iniquity of my sin. For this cause, everyone who is godly shall pray to you in a time when you may be found. Surely, in a flood of great waters, they shall not come near him. You are my hiding place. You will preserve me from trouble. You shall surround me with songs of deliverance. Selah. I will instruct you and teach you in the ways you should go. I will guide you with my eye. Do not be like the horse or like the mule, which have no understanding, which must be harnessed with bit and bridle, else they may not come near to you. Many sorrows will be to the wicked, but to he who trusts in the Lord, mercy shall surround him. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart. It's a beautiful psalm. And if you just read that psalm and you go through and you catch like maybe a sentence or a few words that resonate with you a little bit. But if you look at how it was put together and how beautiful it is, this was put together in 3 different parts, 3 different verses for us to read. There's sections 1 through 4, and this is where the psalmist, where David, he is pointing out the heaviness of conviction, talking about the iniquity of his sin, the heaviness of the Lord's hand upon those that he's convicting. You know, my children, I do this with my children, and I look at this psalm and I think, wow, this is exactly what I do with them. When I want to go and I want to correct my children because maybe they're being disobedient, maybe they're fighting with each other, maybe they've talked back, I go to them and I correct them and I use big, stern words and I tell them, this is not okay in our household. The other day I was doing this as I was lecturing my kids, and my son Wesley, he turned away and he went to his mother and he said, he's like, Mom, I'm kind of scared of Dad's voice right now. It's kind of scary. And I said, Wesley, you get back over here. And my son, he's just such a sweet little guy. He's just a wonderful little kid. He comes up and he just, you know, kind of fumbles with his hands. And he says, Dad, I really don't like it when you talk like that, because it just doesn't feel good. So I looked at him. And I said, Wesley, well, that's okay. It's not supposed to feel good. And I took my hands and I put them on his shoulder and I pressed down on his shoulder and I said, does it feel like this when I talk to you? And he said, it kind of feels like that. And he kind of feels that heaviness. My hands were upon him just with my words because I'm giving him correction in that moment. And he felt that weight. Well, verses 1-4, that's kind of what's being presented here, is that the heaviness of the Lord's hands is upon those who have sinned and have transgressed. But just like with my son, I told my son this. I said, it's okay. If you ever feel that dad's words are making you feel like this, and I pushed down on his shoulders, I said, don't run away. It's okay. Because even though it feels like this for a second, and I reach down and I give him a hug, and I said, I will always meet you with a hug afterwards. So know, whenever it feels like this and you have pressure on you, know that I will always come to you and I will give you a hug. And that's Psalms 5-8. And this is where the psalmist talks about how the shelter is in the Lord. That if I confess my transgression to you, is that you will forgive them and my shelter will be found in you. And it was the heaviness of the correction of the hand of the Lord that's met with the hug, or the heaviness of conviction that's met with the hug of correction. And as we look down and we go to the end of this psalm, the third part of this psalm, we see this final part, and it's in verse 11 where he ends it. And he says, be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart. You know, when I'm correcting my children with the heaviness of the conviction, the hug of correction of saying, this is the way it's supposed to be, I love you. There's always a restored relationship afterwards whenever there's a stern correction. And then there's a celebration, and I would call it the hooray of connection, of we've walked through a moment together, I've given you a hug, and now we get to rejoice because now you have been brought into correction. You've been brought into the right way to live, into the right way to act. For every single one of us, we are not any different. And if you've heard me teach over and over again, we're no different than children. We're all still children. We still all need that simple, gentle correction from the Lord. Sometimes it's stern. But we need to come to his word simply with that. Simply with that understanding of like, Lord, I just need to confess my sins to you. I feel the weight of your pressure. I feel the coldness of my heart, the heaviness of the thing that I've done wrong. I just need to confess that to you. I need to be drawn close to you. I need your hug. I need your comfort. I need to find shelter in who you are. And Lord, and if you've gone through that process with the Lord, then you know what it feels like to rejoice with him afterwards. Well, that's our relationship with the Lord that the psalmist points out here that I think is just so beautiful in three parts. But I want you to consider this as you move forward. Remember, Scriptures teach us that we are to love the Lord God with all of our mind, with all of our soul, with all of our strength. And then we are to what? We are to love our neighbor as ourself. As we walk in this life, it is our job to look to the Lord, to look at the things that we have done that are wrong, to confess those things with him, to feel the comfort of a relationship with him, to celebrate in our restored relationship to the Lord, and then to transfer that same process to those that we love around us. And this is what is so cool about the Word of God, is that our relationship with the Lord, the way that God models his relationship with his people, is the exact same kind of relationship that we need to have with each other. Is that maybe you're an individual here who you have sinned against somebody else. You have done something to somebody else that you know is not right. You have transgressed against them. Have you gone to that person and have you said, I need forgiveness from you? Are you an individual here who maybe you're not the transgressor? Maybe you're the one that somebody has done something against you. And if that individual was to come to you, would you go to them? If they were to come to you and ask for forgiveness, would you go to them and say, yes, I forgive you, and I'm willing to reach out my arms to you and give you a hug. And I want to join in celebration with you, and I want to rejoice. I want to rejoice in the way that we are living now in uprightness of heart, in a restored relationship, in restored fellowship with one another. We have loved being at Refuge for the last 4.5 years. It has been an incredible time to serve this congregation and this family. I just took a video right over here of the beautiful sunset going down and the music playing, and just spending so much time with many different people within this family of believers. I'm excited to see what the Lord does with Refuge going forward. And each one of us here is a part of the family of God that needs to be a part of that process of sharing God's love with each other, with those that are around us. And my prayer is that everybody that's here will look into the Word of God, will look at the Psalm right here, and will remember those three parts of God's Word that teaches us that we are to feel the conviction, the heaviness of the weight of the Lord. That's called the fear of the Lord, the reverence for who the Lord is. To openly confess our sins to Him. To run to Him, just like this church, just like our church's building's name is, Refuge. We are to run to Him after we confess and say, well, we need your comfort. And to celebrate and rejoice in who He is, knowing that we have a restored relationship. Amen. Amen. Let's go ahead and pray. Father God, I thank you just for who you are. Lord, I thank you that as we read through the psalm here and we see those three parts, Lord, of just seeing, Father God, that when we cry out to you, we understand when we have done something wrong, that you are quick to forgive, to hug us, to bring us close, Lord, and that you, Father God, are our refuge. You are the one that we run to, Lord, and you are the one that we celebrate with. As we fill that with you, as we feel, Lord, who you are, as we understand that, may we offer that same offer of grace to other people that are around us and be willing to offer them that hug and to celebrate with them when we are restored into correct relationship with each other. In your name, amen.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495.